Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 89 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I have the pleasure of talking to Dan and Katie Mizuraka from Red, White, and Q Smokehouse in Kearney, New Jersey. This one's, I really think that you're going to enjoy this, not only because the two of them have a great rapport, you can tell they're in love, they're finishing each other's sentences, all the cliches, but it's true. You'll see it and you'll hear it, and it's great to just talk to them about their business and how passionate they are about their business. But what's really great is that they didn't come from that background. Dan was in the Marines. He went to work for Journey Shoes. Katie as well, she's did a little bit of restaurant background. Her mom, and she touches upon her parents. Her mom worked in the restaurant business. She worked at Journeys as well, and they met in New York. And we talk about that meeting, and then what they've learned at Journeys, which actually helped them with their career and expanding their career. And then how they got into smoking, how she got him these small smokers, and he cooked, and the really funny stories. But it showed his passion, and his passion is similar to a lot of the people's passions that listen to this and other people that might be interested in starting a barbecue career. You're gonna love this because they talk about starting the restaurant. Starting from not knowing anything and progressing to the point of expansion and the pitfalls about expanding too quickly. And they're dead honest about what happened and how they're back to having the one restaurant in Kearney. And I think that this will be a great, great lesson for a lot of restaurateurs, the things to look out for, the things to get excited about and to build upon. So I can't thank Katie and Dan enough for sharing their story. You're going to want to visit. It just sounds great. And they also have a great program that they do called Buy a Veteran a Meal. They go into depth about that. It's a really cool thing that they do, and you're going to be really interested in supporting that. They support veterans, of course, and the community, and there's a veteran community there in New Jersey that they highly support. So it's just a great story. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of the episodes. I also have a YouTube channel with YouTube versions of these, as well as barbecue joint visits, butcher shop visits, tons of cool content. That's at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with a ton more content, as well as links to all of the podcasts, all of the YouTube stuff, so you don't have to search through it on those networks. You could actually just go to my website and find those. And then I also have I'm putting together, and I just launched a 2019 events calendar for barbecue events that you want to maybe buy tickets ahead of time for. And I just did a feature on the growing underground and pop-up barbecue scene here in Los Angeles with links to all the restaurants that are doing that. So I think that would be really cool for you if you're coming to Los Angeles to get a chance to check them out, see what their schedule is. But enjoy this. Well, good morning, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm glad we finally got this together.
Yeah, it's been quite the adventure.
Yeah, us too.
So what's a day look like for you guys today?
Well, today, after this, we'll go back up. We'll head up to our restaurant. We just made pork roll yesterday, Taylor Ham.
Oh.
So we're going to get that on the menu. It's a big Jersey thing.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me, like, let's talk about that. I don't know that much about that.
We'll give the Jersey
totally.
Name.
Okay, so I grew up in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey, right? I met Dan. We were working for a shoe sales company, and we met in Manhattan.
Oh.
And Dan is from Florida, but has lived all over in California and Washington, D.C. But he's like, he's the Southern roots. I'm the Jersey roots. So, and in New Jersey, Central Jersey. But in New Jersey, one of like the quintessential Jersey foods is pork roll or Taylor ham.
Okay.
And it's like breakfast meat. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
Okay, so it's kind of like, it's like, it looks like bologna sort of, and you just fry it up and you make like a Taylor ham and egg, like a cheese sandwich, and it's like a go-to breakfast meat.
Okay.
And everyone in New Jersey is obsessed with it, and you can only really get it in New Jersey. Like no one else sells it, really nobody else makes it. So when we got like, we started making all of our sausages and all of that. And I've been telling Dan, like, Dan, we need to make pork roll. People will freak out. Like they will love it so much. So we finally felt confident enough to try it.
Is it difficult to make?
No, it's super easy. We cure our own bacon in house. So really, the ingredients are 3 pounds of bacon, 7 pounds of pork butt. We use Duroc pork. So you just grind it up. We have a buffalo chopper, so we just chop it up real good. And then you have your seasoning, some salt, some pepper. Then you stuff it into, you know, big casing like you would a summer sausage.
Oh, is that what that photo of you with it hanging?
Yeah. Ah. It's a pork roll.
So it's about like that is.
Yeah, about you know, 2.5 inches in diameter, about 20 inches long. And then you just slice pieces. You know, after you stuff it, you throw it in the smoker for about 30 minutes to, you know, get some smoke on it to the internal temps, 125. You take it out and then you poach it. You know, 180 degree water to the temps 165, and then refrigerate it, just firm it up, and you're ready to go. Uh-huh. Super easy.
Katie, how have you? Is it in large slices that you guys have? That's traditional, or?
Yeah, so they're kind of like thin slices, maybe like a thick piece of bologna.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you fry it up
just to get it brown.
Crispy.
Yep.
And then that's
you're
it.
You're ready to go.
And then put it on a really good roll, because New Jersey is also into a really good hard roll.
I know. So that's and that's interesting too, because New Jersey doesn't have there's not necessarily a tradition of barbecue, probably grilling, or is there a barbecue tradition in New Jersey?
You know, there's not a really big barbecue tradition. It's just starting to come through, and we're happy to you know, we've been in business for 3 years now, so. We tend to think that we're at the beginning of the barbecue boom here in New Jersey, which is a great place to be.
I think you know. I think you're right. I think you are.
Yeah, you know, we're right 15 minutes from Manhattan, so we know that, you know, the Brooklyn barbecue with Billy Durney and, you know, a lot of Brooklyn barbecues, it's starting to come over to, you know, New Jersey's starting to get it now, and we feel like we're there, and it's like right for the picking.
And isn't New Jersey sort of a place where people don't understand what New Jersey? Because I went to a wedding in New Jersey. This is 10 years ago, and I in my mind I'd always thought I don't know why not Jersey Shore, but the I knew that that wasn't what Jersey was really about. But I knew that. I didn't realize how I'm sure there is like a slice of that, but it's that it does exist. But it's I was in the woods almost, like there's tree. It was gorgeous. It was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, but it wasn't what I had assumed New Jersey was all about. And also now I'm sure it's a place where a lot of people want to move and live, because I'm sure Manhattan has outgrown itself.
Well, it's funny, you know, in New Jersey, it is called the Garden State, right? For a reason.
Exactly. And that's why.
agriculture is really, really big in New Jersey. There's lots of fresh produce. So that's like a big part of New Jersey culture. But New Jersey is kind of divided in some ways, where North Jersey is very different than South Jersey, which is very different than the Jersey Shore. And where we're at in North Jersey is very populated. It's very densely populated. Okay. Like Dan was saying,
it's right outside
of
Manhattan.
We're right outside of Manhattan in Hudson County. And Hudson County is actually where the Statue of Liberty is, which is a good fun fact.
Oh, that's a great fun fact.
it's
actually in Jersey City.
New Jersey address.
So,
oh, that's so funny.
So where we are in Kearney, at the very top of the hill, if you look down the hill, you can see the New York City skyline. So it's really that close. I mean, you can see, you know, downtown Manhattan. Okay. So that culture of New York is really embedded into, you know, where we are. And one of the best things about where we are that people don't really think about is the people of New Jersey, and definitely the people of North Jersey. It's people that work really hard jobs, hard labor, that want to come in for lunch, and they appreciate a really good brisket sandwich. They are about us for that reason. There is barbecue in New Jersey, but it's a lot of Portuguese barbecue, which is maybe what you're talking about with grilling.
Mm-hmm. Grilling, fast cooking ribs, chickens, like big time into Portuguese barbecue.
Yeah.
Which is very different, you know, than traditional Southern barbecue.
And that's so that you guys fit like it's a perfect niche. And it's also the day-to-day clientele you guys have. I'm sure that's, like you said, they really, really appreciate it. And that's a customer you want. That's a customer you probably want to feed.
They totally appreciate quality meat. We start with the best meat we can get our hands on. They're not afraid to pay for good food. Mm-hmm. It's a real big thing. It's like, they'll pay for, you know, quality food.
And lunch is important because it's nourishment. It's like, because they're going back.
Yeah,
they're going back. I mean, you have right where we are, and even like on our street, we're in a residential street. So we share a wall
with a house.
With a house.
I didn't know that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a tiny, upstairs is what?
Yeah, 540 square feet. You know, it's a tiny place. We got two communal tables, sit about 23 in there. And it's just smoky, it's hot, and it's an open kitchen. So you see everything that's going on. You're literally 5 feet from the customers at all times.
Yeah, and as
which
much
is
as
awesome.
It's unexpected to have a barbecue restaurant in New Jersey. It's even more unexpected to have a barbecue restaurant in Kearney. And yeah. Then it's even more unexpected to have a barbecue restaurant in the location we're at in Kearney. So it does add a lot to like our story, and it adds a lot to like the authenticity of what we're doing.
For sure.
You know?
Well, what's your guys' backgrounds? I want to hear. Like, I know a little bit, but I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I've really never been into cooking, you know, growing up, or it just wasn't ever like a big part of my culture. But me and my family was always about having, you know, a family meal. So, I mean, I've always felt like a connection to the idea of sitting down with a group of people and, you know, connecting and enjoying each other's company over food. And that's always been a big part of who I am and how I was raised. And so for a career, I worked at Journeys for 10 years, which is a shoe store, shoe sales. I started out as a part-time employee and worked my way up, and I loved it. And I really loved the environment, and that company really was all about teaching you how to, like, they kind of be like, okay, this is how you do it. Go sink and swim, figure it out, you know? And at like 18, 19 years old managing, you know, I really was able to cut my teeth and learn a lot of things really, really fast. And I never really left that company because I really learned how to run and manage and operate a business.
That's smart.
And and that's what I liked, you know, they allowed us to be creative in some ways and just figure out who we are as managers and who we are as people and see how that directly impacts your sales. Mm-hmm. So it was a very sales driven company. You know, if you went into a store and it was a failing store because they had a bad manager and you go in there and you win, you realize how much power you have over, you know, your sales and your bottom line of the decisions you make. So even learning those lessons at 18, 19, 20 years old is a huge reason why we're able to do this. So I went to New York City and then to work at a Journey store in Manhattan. And that's when I met Dan. After Hurricane Sandy, when all of Manhattan lost power, like all of lower Manhattan lost power. And at the time I was working in 14th Street in Union Square.
Okay.
And Dan was working in 34th Street. And all of the managers, it was like the first day that they got power back in 34th Street. And I was like, okay, let's, you know, fine. Like, you haven't worked in 4 days. Let's do it. And I went in and like worked with Dan for the day. And that was it. And we like hit it off and we went out and got beers afterwards. And then that was it. So
they never left.
You guys you've been by each other's side ever since Hurricane Sandy. No, actually, it's amazing that Hurricane Sandy brought you guys together too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really did. You know, and Dan's story to get to that point is definitely a little different than mine.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, I started in Florida. I grew up in Florida and we just really loved, you know, barbecue, but nothing big time. We would go out to Sonny's Barbecue all the time and get, you know, rib meal. All you can eat rib meals, more dad loved. And after high school, I joined the Marine Corps right away. And that took me out of Florida. And I never went back. That took me to the West Coast for a year. I had lived in Los Angeles for a few years after I got out. And, you know, the Marine Corps took me all over the world.
Look, I hate to cut you off, but thank you for your service. Like, I can't thank you enough for what you've done.
Absolutely. I love our country. So, you know, after I get the Marine Corps, I was in there for 4 years, get out in 96, stayed in Los Angeles another 4 years.
Where in Los Angeles did you live?
Oh, I lived in Montebello. I lived in East LA, lived downtown.
Wow.
You know, we were on a budget. the last place I lived was West Hollywood.
Okay.
And after moved from West Hollywood to went to Miami,
okay,
where I started to work for Journey Shoes.
Okay.
Working with my buddy. I worked down there for 5 years, and that brought me up to Washington, D.C., where I was a district manager for them, where I was in charge of 21 stores over 4 states. And that's really where I started to learn, like, managing, running a business,
oh, for sure.
How payroll affects everything, how inventory affects everything, how, you know, how to hire people,
mm-hmm.
because that brings us into a big part of our story later on about the growth that we had with our company with the multiple stores. After that, I got promoted to New York City, and that's where you met Katie, which was life-changing, obviously. Then we moved out of Manhattan to Jersey City, where I bought my very first smoke, we'll call it apparatus. It was a
what was it?
It was a what were they called? The pressure pot smoker. It was like a pressure cooker.
Okay.
It had a little wood chip holder, and we would. That's the only way we could cook in the apartment. So we would smoke like 5 ribs.
Yeah.
You have to split them up, put them in there. And it would cook them. And that's why I'm like, oh, this is pretty damn cool.
Isn't it amazing how great that was back then?
Yeah. That
was the coolest thing ever.
It was the coolest.
Yeah.
Like, we'd literally have parties where I'd invite a friend. It had like little racks so you could put ribs on one, little piece of brisket on one. And this is, you buy it flat and you'd have to cut it up into 4 sections just to have it fit. And we lived in Jersey City for 2 years. We loved it. And then that's where we decided to buy a house. And that's where everything changed for a housewarming gift. She bought me a smoker, a little electric smoker, 4 shelves. And that's where I just really got into the hobby. And I'm an obsessive compulsive hobbyist.
Yes.
When I get into something, I just get psycho on it. It's like, get on every form, get on smokingmeat.com, get on Barbecue Brethren. I was like, just found this wealth of information.
So what year was this roughly, do you think?
2013, 2014.
Okay. 2014. Okay. We bought the house. Yeah.
Yeah, 2014. And our house was super commutable to Manhattan. It was one bus line from door to door, like 20 minutes. And all of our friends lived in Manhattan. So we finally bought a house. We had a big old yard. So every weekend we would, as much as we could, like throw a party. I'd cook one brisket. You know, she would make all the sides.
Oh, yeah.
And next week I'd read up on how to do pork, you know, pork butt. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to do pork next time. And then go to the next party and do ribs. And then it just, you know, and all of our friends would come. We'd have a great time, you know, 30, 40 people. And then it just escalated. She's like, oh, shit, I want to cook a pig. So, yeah, how am I going to cook a pig? Got online, figured it out. Butter caja china. That was the first time I cooked a pig.
Wow.
Yep.
And then
those are great.
So,
cinder blocks.
So yeah, so Dan, because he's an obsessive compulsive hobbyist, like deep into the night on the computer, you know, reading forums, drinking a whiskey, like getting his like Dan time in, and he's like doing stuff in the middle of the night. What are you doing? He's like, don't worry about it. So the next morning he goes to work, and I'm like casually waking up in the morning, and I hear like this beep. Beep, beep, beep in front of my house. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, what is that?
And I look out the window, there's a forklift delivering a pallet of cinder blocks to my house. So I call Dan, I'm like, why are there cinder blocks outside of the house? And he's like, oh shit, I thought I tried to cancel that. And I'm like, okay, so we have lovingly dubbed that now the barbecue castle in the backyard.
Yeah, I made a big cinder block pit because cinder block pit was life-changing also, because I bought the cinder block so I was going to make a big pit to cook pigs on, you know, over live coals, because I was having a reunion for my Marine Corps buddies for like 20 years. I got out in 96, so I haven't seen most of these guys since 96, so look, 25 years. So I invited 8 of them from all over the country, and they all came to my house for like 5 days, and we did nothing but barbecue, cook pigs, drink, play cards all night.
How did that pig turn out?
Oh, it turned out great. It was good. We cooked, you know, we all stayed up all night tending to the fire.
Did we do 2 pigs?
I did 2 pigs. Yeah. I did one in La Cachina and then one in the barbecue castle.
Right, just in case you screwed up the barbecue castle one.
then we wanted to see which one was better, and we, you know, seasoned both differently.
Oh, and so cool.
After those guys left, that's when I like literally looked at Katie and was like, hey, you know, we can cook for the masses. We could cook for a lot of people. We have these big parties. You know, we know how to cook for people. We know how to give good service because that's what we do in Journey Shoes. Mm-hmm. It's all about customer service.
Exactly.
About pleasing the customer. So, like, customer service is really what we're, you know, all about. So it's like, why don't we just try to run our own business? We know how to, why don't we try to open a barbecue restaurant?
Mom, actually, so parents met working in a restaurant. My parents worked at Red Lobster. My mom worked at Red Lobster for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And eventually when she did leave, she left to start her own business. She's a costumer for plays.
Oh, cool.
And, but my parents met at Red Lobster and they're dining room managers and they're like quintessential, like restaurant manager people. And my mom just is like the world's best waitress, you know? And so she has, from the beginning, she was the one who was the least afraid. You know, she was like, go for it. Do it. I know you guys can do it. Just go for it.
That's
and
unique.
Like,
that's very unique. A lot of people, yeah, like parents will be like, don't do it.
My parents are the opposite. I'm saying, hey, stay where you're at. You've been with that company 15 years. She's been there 10. You guys are doing great.
Get the watch.
Her mom's like, do it. You guys can run a business easy.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
And neither one. I've never worked in a restaurant. She worked in a restaurant for
like my first job. I waited tables at a German restaurant. I had to wear a dirndl, but not like a cute one, like a granny one.
Oh, that's
like
sad.
So I was just like, let's try it. And then it took some talking into. Then she's like, all right, let's do it. And I would just search the internet. You're trying to find restaurants to look at, and finding restaurants online when it's not so easy.
I can't imagine.
You know, it's not a lot of information. Mm-hmm. If it's commercial, you have to sign up for, you know, these websites, a couple hundred bucks a month. It's like, that wasn't what we're doing. And then we found a place on Craigslist.
Oh, really? Is that the location that you're at the moment? Okay.
Yeah, that's the location we're at. And it's like, let's go look at this. It's Kearney. I was like, where's Kearney? So we had to Google where Kearney was, like 7 miles from our house. You know, it's like, so we went and it was perfect for what we wanted. It was, we needed it super small, you know, because it was just us. Mm-hmm. It was open kitchen, which I was really big at. I wanted people, when they walk in, to see the smoker. I wanted to be able to talk to customers and hang out at the meat, you know, the meat cutting station. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be in the back kitchen. That was a deal breaker. And it was super cheap. You know, and that's where we're at, because it was all, you know, when we found the place and we decided, you know, just like, we'll give our jobs a 3-month notice in case we fail and we can always go back.
Yeah.
You know, I had to have an out because we just didn't know. It was totally cash in our 401k, cash in her 401k. And we had a super small budget, and a friend of mine made us tables. He delivered them from Ohio.
Nice.
He made our tables that we have in there. You know, most of our budget went into getting a smoker.
Yeah, what type of smoker did you get?
Well, at that time, I got an old Hickory, CTODW. Mm-hmm. And since then, we bought a J&R. So we have two now. We have a J&R in the back kitchen, the Little Red Smokehouse.
Gotcha.
And then we have the old Hickory. So we have two now. And we do all wood on it, though. We don't use the gas on the Hickory. It's just all wood on both of them.
Yeah.
But that was just what I knew. It was the one that really what would fit in the door.
Right.
Because we didn't have a control. We weren't like taking doors off, you know, or
busting
down walls or taking out windows.
Cranes. No,
there was none of that happening. So it was like, all right, well, door's 36 inches. This one's 35 3/4.
We got it.
It works. That'll fit.
Yeah.
What was that? So what was it? Did you guys have a menu in your mind? Kind of, I guess it probably took a little time to figure out what exactly you wanted to serve.
Well,
the menu, because we know we're not chefs and we don't have this like trained background, it was important for us to do stuff that we knew we could handle and that we knew we could keep. So we knew we wanted to keep the menu really simple of stuff we've cooked a lot before and we know we can cook really at our parties. So we knew we wanted to do a mac and cheese, a smoked baked bean, a collard green, a vinegar coleslaw, And then we knew we want potato salad, brisket, pork,
ribs
and chicken.
Okay.
And we wanted to keep it really, really small because we didn't want to overextend ourselves. We already knew we were going to be up against a pretty big challenge as it was.
And that's smart too. What this is, number one, I love you guys. You guys are just amazing. And I have a lot of friends and people that I know, especially in LA with pop-ups and like they do these underground and they all want to jump to the next level and start a restaurant. So I think this will be so helpful to people because just what you said just now and keeping it simple and making sure you make what you have been making successfully and selling successfully. I just think this interview is going to be extremely inspiring to a lot of people. So thank you. It's a little aside, but
it's important to us too. You know, that's a lot of what we hope to do because for us, we literally are just regular people. Like we don't have anything extraordinary about our cooking, you know, ability or, you know, anything so unreachable for just a regular person. And we really went through it and, you know, everything is a challenge. There's nothing that's easy. So the stuff that you can make easy, you need to, you know, for sides specifically, we knew also we wanted to have legit fresh sides,
homemade,
everything
nothing
homemade.
Out of a can, nothing out of just like all the sides we make, what Katie makes is our parties.
And that's the stuff that we like to eat. So
that helps too.
We want to make stuff that especially in New Jersey where there is no barbecue. If you go to other barbecue restaurants, you know, best case scenario is you get like an average to below average mac and cheese, which I'm a mac and cheese kind of gal.
Well, I know. And isn't that sad when you order mac and cheese and it's terrible and you're like, is that this? It makes me really sad when mac and cheese is bad.
Oh, yeah. Know, me too.
Yeah, we make our cheese from a roux. We have four cheeses in it. We make it from a roux fresh every day. It's creamy. It's delicious.
Yeah, and our beans, we start with raw, hard beans, whatever
we boil, we cook them.
See, I like that.
Yeah.
Mix in our sauce, our bean sauce. We put pineapple in them, pineapple tidbits, and throw them in the smoker. Hit them all smoky, smoke them for 3 or 4 hours.
Collard greens, we smoke the ham hock. We just start with fresh greens. Everything we do is fresh homemade.
Sounds like it. So what was it like that first, like when you guys were, so you had your menu set up and you guys were probably testing items, but what was it like that first week or those first few days? And how did you get the word out?
Well, go ahead.
Sorry, that was a big long question.
Well, when we first started, we had one of Dan's Marine Corps buddies that started with us, who did have kitchen experience, and so he really helped us a lot to, you know, kind of make a recipe or understand what that means. You know, like I said, we really had no idea, but so we were able to rely on him to physically cook the things.
Show us how to like make a recipe from a backyard to
how to make a big batch of something. So I actually had my job still, and I was like, okay, you know, if all goes well, I'll be able to quit in a year. Like, hopefully we'll have enough people, you know. But Dan quit right away and like before we started and all that. So I was like, okay, I'll take vacation from my job and for the grand opening week, and we'll get in there and see how it goes. And literally from the first day, because you do all the math and you figure out, okay, how much do I need to make this day?
Yeah, how much we got to make a day to
make per day? Yeah, exactly.
Our mortgage at our house. If shit didn't go good that first week, we were out of money. The first week we were like open on the 20th, and I was like, all right, we got to make some money for our mortgage on the first.
It's so stressful.
We didn't do no marketing or stuff. We just had a banner coming soon, Red Wing Q Smokehouse.
Yeah, that we didn't even know you have to get a permit to hang a banner. Yeah, we're so clueless.
I didn't know that either.
Ticket for hanging a banner outside. Like, shit, I need that $100.
So I really weren't ready.
No, we had our friends and family on Sunday night, which is shit show.
Yeah.
You know, running and bumping into each other, learning how to serve people and coming in line. And then we opened Monday. I'm like, all right, well, people are driving by seeing people in a restaurant. We're opening on Monday. And then on Wednesday, I was like, you need to call and tell them you're putting in your 2-week notice. People are starting to just come in.
Were coming in. We were busy. We have people that came back like 4 times that same week. Yeah, we knew we had something special in Kearney. In Kearney, there's a lot of Portuguese barbecue, like we were talking about. So people will drive by a restaurant that has a neon sign that says barbecue, and they're wishing it was Southern barbecue, but it's actually Portuguese barbecue, which is so different. So yeah. We actually are American Southern barbecue. So people were...
That was on the banner.
People were talking about it. And like you said, we're in a residential space, so... People are on their way home. They're driving past us like all the time in this little unassuming place that says American Southern Barbecue. Like, what is that? So it was busy right off the jump, and we were not ready. And that's okay, you know. And a lot of times people kind of over prepare and think that they're gonna be like, you're never really gonna be actually ready. You know, you gotta jump into it.
Oh yeah, we're open to close every day, 6 a.m. to At first, we were closing at 10, and we figured out that 9 o'clock was the best hour. So we every day, you know, we tried to do 7 days a week because we were psycho.
Yeah.
Then, like, the third week, I'm like, all right, we need to take the day off.
Oh, yeah,
so of course. We closed on Mondays until we, you know, just went through it, you know. The grind is the grind.
How were you? Were you cycling meats through to make it for the evening, like putting in a second?
Oh, we were. Well, the smoker's pretty big, so we were. You know, we were selling out, really, just because we didn't want to overcook, because we didn't want to serve any, you know, leftovers or stuff like that. So, just learning, really gauging how much that we had to cook and how much that we, you know, was the right amount, and we would sell out, you know, because we would basically not know how much to cook, which was in turn really created the buzz because you know, people on Facebook is like, oh my god, these guys are selling out, we better get there early. So we really just into learning how to really now sell out with a full load of briskets and full loaf, which is great, you know?
Yeah, so the briskets and the pork we cook one time, obviously, overnight, and then Dan would do chicken, ribs, and sausage twice a day,
you know, for the lunch, you know, put chicken ribs on in the morning, and then after lunch, put chicken ribs on for dinner.
You weren't making your own sausage at the beginning, or were you crazy?
No. We weren't there yet. No, we just didn't get into making our own sausage really until probably this past year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We had it custom made. Mm-hmm. So we had a butcher make it for us, because you can't find a jalapeno cheddar sausage up here at all.
So we were having it made.
No one makes it.
We found a butcher that would make it for us. So he was making it for us. And then I bought sausage making equipment. Then I have this guy come and help me, show me and teach me how to make it. So
nice.
We make it now in-house. But before, it was just down the street.
Yeah, but doing that, it's your own blend. It was your own stuff. Like,
oh,
your,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So were you starting to get buzz? Were writers coming in or barbecue nerds?
Yeah, you know, with we opened in February, and then in May, NJ.com, they do their barbecue thing, and then they named us Best Barbecue Newcomer, and that in May. And then that really got it cranking, where people all over the state, because that's a real big publication,
NJ.com.
So that really got us into... You know, people from all over the state now knowing about us and coming and visiting. That's really, really jump started us.
Yeah, that was a big one. So that came out, and then.
Then right after that was the 4th of July. And the 4th of July, Fox News contacted us because they wanted to do an article for 4th of July about a Marine Corps run barbecue restaurant. Huh. And that's what really, you know, led into our veteran give back.
Yeah, our Buy a Vet a Meal program.
Buy a Vet a Meal program.
So when that article first came out, people were calling us from like all over the country, and we're like, I love what you guys are doing, that you're veterans, you know, running your own business, your own barbecue place. How do I buy a meal for the next vet that comes in? And Dan's like, Katie, someone's on the phone asking me how to buy a vet a meal. I don't know what to tell him.
I don't know what to tell him.
I'm like, maybe we can bring up a gift card, like over the phone. So we paid for a gift card, like with his credit card, and bought like a $20 gift card.
And then all the customers in the store, while I was on the phone trying to figure out, they're like, hey, we want to do that too.
Yeah.
So then it grew into this thing where we have this collection of gift cards that people have bought and left in the store for us to use towards putting on big veteran meals, donating food. And it's become this like really awesome community driven, customer driven give back program.
It is amazing. I'll put links to all that. That is so great.
Oh, it's so cool because, you know, we take those gift cards and then we will go and cater meals at the Garfield House, which is a transition house. Mm-hmm. You know, vets that are homeless that now live in this house to get back on their feet. And they can live there for a year to get, you know, get everything back to going. And we would cater, you know, meals there once a month.
Team Red, White, and Blue. Mm-hmm. And actually, right when we first started, and this is part of the reason why we were able to kind of get people in the door right away. You know, Kearney is a small town geographically, but it has a lot of people in it. And it's an Americana kind of town in an unassuming way. You wouldn't really expect it. But they have a street in Kearney, and it's called Veterans Row. Uh-oh. And it's the Marine Corps League, it's the VFW, and then it's the American Legion. Huh. And the commander of the VFW, came in.
Our first day that we're open, you know, we're sitting there scared. She's like, walks in with John Easterday, which is now still our first employee hired. And they're like, you're the only veteran-owned business in Kearney, and we will not let you fail.
Wow, so, that's incredible. You know,
it really was. So for us, it's not only validating of like that people like our food, but there's that veteran support from that community that they want to help each other out. Like they want to see everybody succeed. They want to see you do well. And like, so for them to take that interest in us and even to just come in and say that to us, like made us.
Yeah. We're like,
in your heart. Right? That really helped.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what we are.
So, you know, with those guys. And then also Facebook was really big. So people that, you know, they have like town Facebook groups. And one of our neighbors down the street from the restaurant,
Pastor Matt,
who's a pastor at a church, the local church down the road. The I mean, it's like, you wouldn't think this is all in New Jersey because it's very like small towns.
So, yeah. This like the Mayberry.
He was like, oh, this is so great. I'm gonna put you guys on the Kearney Facebook page. He's like, it has like 5,000 people on it. And we're like, okay, awesome, do it. So we took our picture and immediately like it got so much buzz. And because everybody who was looking at that page is actually people who live in the town. And those people just started coming in. And like, so we were just like, holy shit, let's just put out really good food, man. Like, so we were just fighting to like give really good service and to give really, really good food. And that was it. That was the battle. So, you know, thank God we had all that support. And then the media stuff started to kind of fall into place.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
And the big one too, and I can't remember what
was when Thrillist.com named us Best Barbecue in New Jersey. They did their Best Barbecue in every state. And then when they named us, we're like, holy shit.
Yeah, that was a really big
That's deal. Huge. That is huge. I think huge. That might have been when I heard about you guys, I think. Either the NJ. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're talking about like a national website and listed among these businesses that we have so much respect for. And like we could only ever dream to be like as legit as some of these places, you know? So
yeah,
for us,
the same list of them, like, that's awesome.
That's awesome. So then we're like, okay, you know, and Dan always says this, he's like, you know, people are coming from all over just to eat our food. They're coming from, you know, an hour away, half hour away. Like we're close to Newark Airport. So we get some international people too, that'll come in. They'll be like, oh, I heard about you guys. I read about you guys. Like it's our responsibility to not let them down.
Yeah.
You know, like they're looking forward to this. This is such a big deal for them. Like we want to deliver. We want to deliver from food. We want to deliver from service. We want to deliver from environment and atmosphere. Yeah. Like, so it feels it. We like that though. We like the battle of it.
Like every customer is so important.
Great. So it's like if you just have that mentality, then you know if you can fight through anything, then you're going to be a good small business owner.
So do you want to talk a little bit about the expansion at all? That's part of your story,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I think that'd be good to talk about because we learned a lot of lessons in there and we'll keep it, you know, we'll keep it on the positive notes, but I think a lot of people need to hear about the expansion to, I want to tell them my take on it and how I felt and how I feel now after.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems great.
Yeah.
It is great. You know, there's so many good some things, but.
So did someone, did someone come to you and say, we want to expand, or is that how, kind of how it worked?
Yeah, absolutely. We were, we had a customer, you know, come in and he came and ate. And then, you know, the next week he called and asked me if he could have a meeting with us. I really loved our restaurant, you know, and I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, almost like, I was like, you want to come in Monday? You know, I'm off on Monday. I'll be putting the meat on at 3:00. I didn't really know what this guy was talking about. Yeah. I'm like, I'll be here Monday. I want to be a nice guy on the phone, you know. I'll be here Monday at 3:00 if you want to come meet. And then he came up and he sat down with me and Katie. And he's like, I really love what you guys are doing here. I really, you know, he loves what you've created. He's like, would you like to open a lot of these?
Yeah. So
I'm like, yeah.
So for us, we're like, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Let's do it, dude. Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. You know, especially
because, like, you know, we have no money, right?
Yeah. But at this point, we had been, that was in what month was that? May?
May.
So we had only been open.
We just got married.
Yeah, literally. Okay. Okay. Side note. We opened the restaurant in February. We got married in May. And which, if any ladies out there planning a wedding,
maybe try not
to open a business 3 months before.
No, for sure.
Or do it, because then you'll really know if your marriage is going to last.
That's true. That's true, too. Yeah.
Like, I was writing, like, wedding invitations on the tables in the restaurants, and I'm, like, crying. I'm like, these are going to smell like smoke.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. And we catered our own wedding.
Yeah, catered our own wedding, which was nuts.
Which is, like, 100, what do we have, 150 people?
Yeah.
That's pretty, that's amazing.
That was the first time we ever catered something that size.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, your own wedding. Yeah, at least you weren't nervous.
Oh, God. I was getting yelled at because I was more concerned about the food than the wedding.
I'm like, Dan, we need to talk to our guests. He's like, I need to make sure the brisket is good.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is awesome.
So, yeah, so he came in and, you know, it was like, hey, do you want to open a lot of these? And we're like, yeah. I mean, you have to understand, like, our experience and all of our career has been
multi-store
management. You know, generating sales, like, we're corporate, like, we're in it for the corporate fight, like, we can, you know, we like that.
You know, how to hire and train people is all I did for 15 years.
That's
hire good people, train good people, promote good people, and then move to the next door.
Yeah, so we weren't afraid of that.
I wasn't afraid of expansion, and, you know, we did our smell test with the guy, you know, the background checks, and, you know, he's a legitimate, you know, just business owner that just knows, you know, he wants to, you know, create more businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. So time goes along and we end up opening our, so that was May. And then our first joint venture new restaurant was in a town called Scotch Plains on a very major highway. It's one of the busiest highways in New Jersey, Route 22. Yeah. And so we opened this restaurant in Scotch Plains with him and like
in January. Yeah. So, got all the, you know, operating agreements, all that stuff, really big deal. And I'm, really good. It's like, we really spent the money on an attorney to really create an operating agreement that really protected us. You know, someone that was concerned more about the divorce and more about not the honeymoon.
Yeah.
When you go into a partnership agreement, you know, it's important to think about how, okay, this is going to end eventually when this ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
good, bad, or ugly.
Good, bad, or ugly.
10 years or could be in 5 years or 1 year.
Yeah.
Great advice.
You have to think about how the end is going to be and how do you want the ending to turn out. And like, we learned a lot from that too. So, so we opened up the one location in Scotch Plains in January. Then the second location came
in May, Randolph.
Then
we opened 3 in Central and South Jersey.
South Jersey, like on the Jersey Shore.
Basically at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow.
All in
summer.
End of June, beginning of July.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah, we were savages.
Yeah.
We were getting the store set up, getting, you know, construction, getting everything. It was nonstop. Like, we staffed our Kearney store, good people, and we just went on, you know, creating a tear. We opened up 7 restaurants.
Yeah.
So from January to the last one that we opened was December.
Yeah.
December of last year.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. 2017.
So, and at the peak of the restaurants, we had over 100 employees.
150.
Yeah.
And, wow. You know, we hired, trained, you know, most of the managers at the time were my employees from New York City. Or, yeah. You know, they saw what we were doing and they believed in our vision and they left their careers to come. Hey, let me teach you how to make barbecue. I know you know how to manage.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to do this. And we would just sit and train and I would. You know, we created operation manuals, we created recipes, and I would just train, you know, people just to how we made barbecue mm-hmm. our way. And, you know, and then train one store, get them staffed up, move on to,
on
the,
to
next.
The next one.
You know, at first, once we, you know, made the operating agreement, we started with, I had eight managers come from Journeys before we opened our first store. We basically all from Journeys. Just got them on board and it's like, all right, our vision was, you know, our partner's vision. They wanted 20 open for in the first year.
Wow.
So we started, you know, gathering managers, you know, gathering managers, getting them on board and like training them. Like, all right, we're just going to keep moving.
How are those stores? How are the stores doing?
They were doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, business was great. We were, you know, cranking right along. That's why we continued. Oh, we wouldn't. If we had if we were stuttering or sputtering, we would stop opening.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to do it as responsible as we can, as quick as we could. If we felt like that we were having problems with the brand or having problems with the recipes or the consistency, we were stopped. We would pump the brakes.
So was there a moment where something went off the rails?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, with partnerships, they're a tricky thing.
Of course.
Know?
No, it's never easy.
Very, very tricky. You know, people have a lot of opinions. And they value their own opinions. You know, we started having conversations about, you know, the menu. You know, this whole thing, you know, our partnership is Katie and I. We were the store operators. Mm-hmm. We were in charge. This was our brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would not, from the very beginning, would not compromise our food integrity, our customer service. That was a deal breaker. And when we started having, you know, meetings and conversations about adding stuff to the menus, adding kids menus or just adding products where
changing, you know, things so much,
changing things. I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
You know, but they were very interested for the next part of the expansion. They wanted to do, you know, kids menus and
tacos
and vegan options and shit like that.
And
I'm
salads,
like, I'm not, that doesn't excite us. We don't want to, you know, we won't do it.
Good for
and,
you.
You know, you can only have so many meetings where it's just like, okay, we're at a standstill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys, you know, want to, you have a different vision for the next set of stores. We have a different vision that we're not going to compromise.
Yeah, yeah,
so what
yeah.
do we do from here? Yeah. You know, so we, you know, negotiated a buyout where they bought us out of the locations that we opened together. They changed their name. We protected our recipe.
We protected our
brand. We protected, you know, our attorney was very into, like, I'm going to protect the hell out of you guys.
Good job.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, because, you know, I'm an attorney. I know how these things end. You guys are, you know, you guys are above the moon with the expansion. You guys are excited. She's like, I'm not. I'm like, all right, fair. So she did her job. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because, it could have been, if she didn't, it could have been a whole different situation, you know?
Yeah.
But we got our brand. They changed their names. They're doing their own thing. And we're, you know, back in our thing.
Yeah, it put us right back to where we started, except with, like, all of the knowledge and all of the experience of the past year. And
all the marketing at eight restaurants.
True.
And, yeah.
All that experience, yeah.
Yeah, we got pretty much probably, like, 20 years of restaurant experience, like, jam-packed in 1 year.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is something we say all the time, too, is, you know, don't be afraid to say yes. Like, say yes to opportunities. Like, people want you to do something. Like, it's okay to say yes. You're gonna make an endless amount of bad decisions.
Sure.
As a business owner, you will always make bad decisions, and you can't be afraid to make a bad decision. The only, when Dan says this too, the only bad decision is one you don't do anything about. Like,
true.
Once you realize you
once
made
you make
a mistake,
bad, fix it.
You have all of the control, and that's
don't do it again.
That's what's great about being your own boss and your own business owners. Like, you are in control of your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you don't like the way something's going, you have the opportunity to change it. So it's just, can you operate and can you manage with your eyes open to potential issues? Yeah. And like that's at the core of what has made us successful and like what's taken us to where we are is say yes when you can. Say yes as much as you can, but also know when it's time to change and when it's time to move on and when you need to say no.
And how are your day-to-day customers now the same customers that you had from the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like at the divorce, you know, it's like all the articles started to come out in the newspapers and, you know, online and everything about red, white, and cute, you know, the change. And it's just like, the community just like rallied around, you know, Katie and I.
That's so nice.
The customers that are coming from 45 minutes instead of going to the one by their house, they're driving out to see us, you know, because
that says a lot.
It does. And it's really validating.
It really
appreciate
touches
that.
Your heart. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh man, I remember you in Randolph. It's like an hour away and you came out here. Awesome. You know,
so what should people know about you guys now, and this has been such a journey, and I think that this is going to be so helpful to so many people in so many different ways, not just the barbecue business, but restaurant business and another little small businesses. But what should they know about your restaurant right now? Is there, so it's exactly the same menu as the beginning?
Yeah, you know, just adding on things or just like stuff that, you know, like craft stuff that I want to do. Like,
yeah, it's more about the big difference now is like when we first started, you know, we were trying to like just keep our heads above water and trying to just get through every day and like figure it out, you know. And after this, all of the energy and all the effort and all the attention and care and love and passion we've put into growing the 7 restaurants and making them making them as great as they could possibly be, all of that energy that Dan and I were putting into it, we're now taking all of that energy and putting it back into Kearney. And it's really exciting.
That's cool.
Because we're able to do small batch craft things like sausages and pork roll. And we're able to do different kinds of sides.
Like our bacon, you know, I'm curing bacon.
Curing bacon.
You know,
quality control is better, sure. Just because we're, instead of us not being able to get to Kearney for 3 weeks, we're in Kearney every single day. So the food is as better than it's ever been. The service is better than it's ever been. Our people are happier than they've ever been, which ultimately happy people is going to be happy food is going to be happy customers. So it's all of that energy and attention has gone right back into Kearney, which is such a small place. And it has so much, just has such a good vibe and such good energy as it is. So now everyone just cares about it that much more. And the customers seem to care about it that much more too. I think that the people that have been loyal to us and started with us from the beginning, like they are so happy to see us back. And they're so happy that we are doing what we're doing in Kearney, and we're just in Kearney. Like it feels special again.
Oh yeah. You know? Just like literally like when Guy Fieri was at our, came and did a visit. That's how actually we met through Rashad Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rashad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we literally, when they were there, you know, the people were just stopping in the middle of the street, fire trucks coming by just stopping, and people literally hugging us and crying because they're so happy that, you know, this is such a big deal for me and Katie and our little restaurant.
Yeah, and that's why our slogan and our brand is Be a Part of the American Dream, because that's what we're doing here. And like this is our dream. Like me and Dan, our dream is to be able to be our own bosses and to be able to create a life for ourselves that we're in control of, and to be able to make money and like actually live a comfortable life and take care of our family. Like that's the dream to us. And and the fact that we can do that is amazing. But on top of that, the fact that we can provide that for other people,
our
staff, to be able to provide for them a place that helps them to fulfill their dream or to be, you know, or even the most thing is our customers. Like our customers, we want them to feel like that the American dream is alive and well. Mm-hmm. And that could mean a lot of different things to different people.
Yeah.
But when they see our success or they feel a part of what we're doing, it's just a good feeling. And it's something that people want to believe the American dream is a real thing. And it's
of course, especially
now
more than ever, I think people
now
want
more than ever. Yeah. You know, it's nice to be like a beacon of positivity.
Yeah. Sounds
you know, that's how I feel about it. That's the best thing for me.
Well, also, sure, too, like, I think if people that are watching this would, I just want to come and hang out with you guys and give you guys a hug and thank you for
that. Our restaurant's a good time.
It's fun.
Yeah. No, it just sounds like, and it just seems like now I think that it's all spread the word. I think it's just like the trickle, the whole, you know, pay it forward kind of thing. And then what you guys do for veterans, that too, like coupled, like even if that didn't exist, it's what you're doing is special, but that makes it beyond special, I think.
Oh, yeah, just doing the veteran give back meals is a cool thing because I just, you know, we cook 200 pound pigs, you know, and then we just really get with the VFWs or American Legions, and it's such a big deal just to get the word out, and veterans come and bring their families to eat free, and it's just a party really all day just to show the appreciation to the veteran community.
Excellent.
And customers love, you know, people love to see what they're doing go in action. You know, like they love to see, like when they buy, you know, a $20 gift card, and then next week they see this big, huge party for veterans. They're like, oh, I help pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, they're like, oh man, this is cool. Or they come and it's like, I want to buy another one for the next party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People want to get involved, and sometimes they just don't know how.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, people don't want to go online and, you know, give whatever money to the internet. They don't see the action, but when they see like them making a difference and making people smile, making people happy, and showing a good time for families for that day, it makes everyone feel good.
That's a huge
deal. Feel great.
So how far away are you guys from, like, say you're flying into New York, how far away would you be from the airport if someone wanted to come straight up?
Like literally 5 miles.
It's 5 miles as the crow flies, but it's probably going to take you about 30 or 40 minutes. So
get okay, that's fine. No, that's, people drive 3 hours.
I mean, you can easily get an Uber from the airport and be at our place in under an hour.
Okay.
That's mostly just New York City traffic.
Yeah, actually, probably faster than that.
Yeah, flying in Newark here. Well, 15 minutes.
Kearney shares the border with Newark.
Okay. So if you flew into New York, and Newark has a new airport, or did they remodel it? Or?
Yeah, they're redoing lots of it. It's actually, that's the airport to fly in and out of if you're going to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier easier to commute out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to JFK and stuff is a nightmare. Yeah.
So if someone's watching this just for tips to go to New York, just fly to New York.
You fly to Newark, New
fly
Jersey.
Fly to Newark.
Get in Newark. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
You take
that's
the
all
path the rest train of right into the city.
Yeah.
Because that's people are just watching the whole thing, just waiting for that little tip.
Yeah.
But awesome. Like I thank you guys so much, and you're such a wonderful couple. And it's funny too. Like I could see your guys' brains working together. Like there, you'd be starting to talk Katie, and then Dan, you jump in. Like it's, I don't know. It gives me some hope that maybe there's love out there again.
Dude, that's awesome. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
There's no better partner, you know, for a business, you know, than your husband or wife. Yeah. I mean, that's for us, that there's no way, we have no other partner.
Yeah, like, that's it. We've had our partners, and we're fine with just being each other's partners. It's a lot more enjoyable, and you know, you can make a difference instantly with your decisions.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for couples that are in business. I really, like, I think that's such a wonderful thing. If you can make that work, it's beyond.
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge at first.
For sure.
Definitely was a challenge to learn how to manage each other and, you know,
the wedding.
Soft bottles got to get wiped up. Oh my God. Someone needs to wipe the soft bottles.
He's like, can you go wipe down the tables? I'm like, don't tell me what to do.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. That's great.
So now it's good.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. And this is so great.
Well, and we just started our own YouTube channel too.
Like, oh yeah, 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 definitely.
5 days ago, which is pretty exciting. So, and a lot of what we want to do there is talk about the same kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, it fields questions of people who are starting their own small business or like whatever.
How-to videos. We're going to do all of our recipes online just to help.
I saw that. Yeah. I'll promote the heck out of that too.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
You're going to do like the veteran part. We're going to have like 4 sections, and then how just to do like small business stuff. Like, avoid pitfalls that we fall into.
That's great. Yeah. I'd love to talk to you guys again too. Like in 6 months, we could maybe do like continue to do recaps on what you guys are doing.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be
for
awesome.
Sure.
For sure.
Very cool. Well, have a great weekend. Thank you again. And I'm so happy to meet you guys. I can't wait to come
Thank
out.
Thank you. Us too.
Me too.
All right. Cool. Take care. Bye. Thanks,